Dear Heavenly Father, please pour out your Holy Spirit on us today as we hear about temptation. Open our eyes to it, reveal to us the truth about it, and help us in your power to always be diligent and learn from Jesus so that we can stand against the great tempter, Satan. We pray all this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. So yeah, right. Where do I need to start? Temptation. That crossroads. Temptation is that place before we actually fall into sin. So I spoke briefly about sin makes us black as black. It's not a good place to go. We do have a good Savior that can take our sin from us, but I hope each and every one of us don't ever want to fall into sin. And so temptation is that crossroad, that place where we have a decision before we fall into sin or before we follow Jesus with our lives. Temptation, and it rears itself up in so many ways. Anyone who's had kids, it's just amazing to watch how temptation works in their lives. You say, don't do that. And you can just see them. It's just ticking over, you know, like in the cartoon, little Satan on one shoulder and the little white guy on the other shoulder. It's kind of interesting. Children have a tough time with it. Elderly people have a tough time. Everyone in every stage of life has a tough time dealing with temptation. And so today I want to use that scripture reading from Luke 4 to help us in facing up to the truth about temptation and how we can battle against making bad decisions. Oh, Lord, help me. Right. First off, we have to be clear about temptation and trials. I think too often we get those two areas mixed up in our thinking. In this reading from Luke 4, 1 to 13, it's amazing, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit that leads Jesus out into the wilderness. And you can think, well, God's doing this to Jesus. God's putting him in that place to be tempted. I'd like to draw a line right between trials and temptation. God does use trials to deepen us in our faith, in our journey with him. He uses trials to make us think about where we're at in life and get us back to the heart. So Jesus is about to start his ministry in Luke 4, and it's the place where Jesus needs to just set it firm. What am I doing this ministry for? So God sends him out to be tempted. But God isn't the one that tempts, is he? We have to set that clear. James sets it clear for us. James 1:13, he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So temptation, it's not God's realm. Whose realm? Satan's. That's right. We have to be clear about that. We have to have our finger on the pulse when we come to temptation. We can't just kind of make it an area of grayness and go, oh, it's okay, temptation's come, you know, whatever. We have to first admit that it's coming from Satan. And it's not a harmless game. It's not a, oh yeah, whatever. This is a black and white scenario. When Satan's at work, there's only one thing on his mind, and that is to break your faith in your loving Heavenly Father. He wants to draw you out of that relationship so that you give up on God and turn to anything else. It could be your family, a great thing that God's blessed us all with. But Satan can tempt us through any means. And he just wants to break your faith in that relationship with your Heavenly Father. So the first point, let's be clear, temptation is from the devil. And we need to treat it as a threat, as a battleground. And so when you're feeling tempted in your life, that's the first key that you need to draw into. This is the devil at work. This is not God. You should be ready to flee, right? Have that on your heart. Don't let temptation just be a gray area in your life. Number two, Jesus' encounter with Satan in the wilderness. We see that Satan loves to use tricks and any means to deceive us, doesn't he? He comes into a time in Jesus' life when he's hungry. He's out there 40 days. I had a friend that tried to fast with no food for 40 days. I don't think it's actually humanly possible. After 30 days, he ended up in hospital. And he was so hungry. He said the hunger drove him insane. The smell of food, you know, it was just so intense that he couldn't do it. So Jesus, I love Plum's version. It said he was very hungry. Well, duh, not eating for 40 days. So Jesus is in a place of weakness. He's hungry. He's desiring. His body is crying out for something. And lo and behold, look who's there in that place to tempt Jesus. So we need to realize that in our weakness, that's where Satan will come in. We can use that as a tool. Where do you find Satan finds your weaknesses in your life? What are the low spots in your life that he just finds that easy in? A little flippant example in my life is driving. I like to use this example. I'd hate it if anyone ever put a dash cam in my car. I would not be very happy for anyone to see how I talk about other drivers. I'm trying. It's my weakness. I think everyone should be a good driver just like me. But Satan uses that space to tempt me, to abuse other drivers, to, you know, rain down curses on them. It's my weakness, and I know it. It's a flippant one, I know. I know there's many more deeper sins and weaknesses in our lives. But just the same, have your finger on the pulse where Satan can find a way in your life. If you've fallen into some area where you just easily fall for it, that's the place you need to start working with God to shore up. Julia is my little godsend in the car when she drives for me, with me. She says, Daddy, bless them. And I go, you're right. It's good to have an angel in the back. But she brings God's word alive in that situation. And that's my next point. How does Jesus combat these weaknesses, these areas of weakness where Satan's finding an in? He just purely uses God's word. Jesus, of course, is intimate with his Father, knowing the word back to front, and can use it to combat the devil when he enters those areas of weakness. So it's my encouragement. Gloria, great prayer. We need to have a heart for God's word. We need to be reading it. We need to be living it. We need to be struggling in it and owning it for our lives. It's the tool to fight against Satan. The more we read it, the more we're aware of what is sin and what's not, how we are supposed to be living our lives. So having God's word in our hearts. But if you know your area of weakness, why not write out some scripture passages and put it in that area of weakness? So maybe in my car, I wrote down a couple of examples. Maybe I could write up Matthew 5:9, which says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So that will call me into contrast when I don't want to be a peacemaker. Or maybe Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. So I could put God's word in those places, and it will have a sure effect on how Satan will want to, I can use it to battle Satan in those places. Maybe for you, where you fall into temptation is in your workplace. Maybe think about putting up a piece of scripture there. Be creative. Think about what you need to see. Maybe it's on your computer screen that you fall into temptation. Maybe it's on the TV. Maybe it's in the bedroom. Maybe you need something above your bed. I love those houses that used to have those signs. The Lord is the... Oh, what did it say? Sorry. Yell it out. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. All the grandmas had them up on their walls back in the day. Yeah. Oh, Louise has got one. What is it? I'll have to come and read it. You know, putting scripture up over your house to say the Lord is the head of this household or something like that, just to remind you, this is not my place. Silent listener to every conversation. If you find that in the back, in the little corners of your life, you're slipping into you know, talking about other people in gossip, have that in that place. Maybe if it's your credit card that you slip into sin with, fall into temptation, write a bit of scripture on it. As you do the pay wave, have a look at it. See how God can use his word to confront that temptation. God is good. He uses his word. Get into it. Use it in your life. Someone check out my car next week. See if I've got it there. Keep me accountable too, please. All right. Unfortunately, we all know, though, that temptation keeps coming. Jesus had that moment, that 40 days of temptation, and then he seemed to get on with his life. But I don't know about you. Temptation finds its way every day into my life. And unfortunately, if we're honest about it, Satan too often gets his way with us. He presents us with the option that looks good, a quick fix to an answer, a deep need within us. Jesus had these needs. He was hungry. He wanted to come and save the world. Satan was putting these desirable answers to Jesus' deep needs in front of him. Jesus was able to combat it, but I don't know about you. I too easily fall for Satan's bait too often. This season of Lent is a time that we can be honest about that, where we can come before our Lord and ask for help, because prayer is a mighty tool as we face those areas of weakness in our lives. I have struggled with addictions in my life, and God has been merciful to me. He's broken those addictions, and it was only through prayer and going into the wilderness with him and falling on his grace that I was able to shake those things. He is so good to us. We need to keep relying on his goodness to flow into our lives. We can't just say, this is a shade of grey, it's kind of okay. When we know we're weak to falling into temptation, we need to be active in that area in our life, active in prayer, active in reading God's word into that area, and active in trusting that the Lord can do powerful things, even in the most broken areas of our lives. I know a lot of you have testimonies how God has healed deep wounds. He's able to do this in you. Trust him. We see it in our reading today that ultimately Satan was trying to break Jesus' trust of God's love for him. Jesus had that beautiful proclamation from the Father when he was baptized. He was baptized and God spoke to him and said, "This is my beloved Son." Satan wanted to break that trust between Father and Son. That's what he wants to do in your lives. Jesus ultimately knew he could only trust in the love of the Father. And that's where each and every one of us can fall every time that we face temptation, when something looks so good, and Satan does a good job in presenting it to look so good. But what's better? The love of the Father. We sang praises to our Lord about that. The love of the Father that can wipe away every sin. The love of the Father that would send his only Son into this world, a perfect Son that fell into no temptation, who would honor his Father by going even to the cross and sacrificing his life for ours. That love is bigger than any temptation that Satan can put in front of us. If you're struggling in temptation, just fall into that love. See Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. If that means falling down on the ground and weeping so that you won't go through the motions of falling in temptation, let that be. That's the person I was at one stage in my life. And through that, Christ can bring healing and hope. In Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, we hear a beautiful passage of scripture. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Each of us, unfortunately, will fall to temptation, probably in the next 5 seconds. This day, it's part of our lot, our sinful nature, but we have a high priest who is able to empathize with our condition and has done everything to bring us before our Lord as sinless. I pray that as you face the temptations that come your way in your life, that you may continue to fall at that throne of grace. I pray that you can continue to let God's word speak his love and reassurance of who you are, his beloved children. Hear it and claim it and speak it back to the devil. I am a beloved child of God, and there's nothing that he can ever do to break that. No temptation will ever be able to take that away from you. No sin will ever be able to blot that out. So I pray you can stand firm in that. Speak that back to the devil in his face when you feel temptation, and praise God that he is able to do great things as you trust in him. So I pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guide your hearts and mind into our amazing High Priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.